Hey, everybody. Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, good day. It's the Panic Podcast for a Friday. And today, we are looking at spiritual gifts. It's Friday. And I want to look at the gift of your pastor. Yep, he's a gift from God, believe it or not. You may not think he is, but he is. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's Panic Podcast, and we'll get started in just a second. How many of you are glad it's the weekend? Almost. I sure am. I'm glad it's Friday. It was a good week. It was an awesome week. I mean, it was just like summertime all week long. Looks like it's going to cool down and we're going to get a bit of rain. But boy, what a gorgeous, gorgeous week. And the grass is growing. The birds are singing. The pollen is everywhere. But you know what? I'm taking my Chlortabs and my Benadryl, and I'm just enjoying the summer-like temperatures. Yes, I'm a happy, happy man today. I hope you're happy, and I hope you're looking forward to a good, good weekend. I got a question for you guys out there. Are any of you audiobook listeners? We used to call them books on tape years ago. I'm just wondering if any of you are into audiobooks at all. I'm a huge audiobook listener. When you read for a living, I mean, I basically am reading all day, every day, reading and writing, reading and writing, reading and writing and researching and reading and writing and researching and writing and reading and writing all day long. So, for me, reading is not enjoyable. It's something that I do for work, right? So I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I'm wondering if you guys do. And what are you listening to? I would like to know what you're listening to. I'm looking for, I have a couple of credits, free credits, and I don't want to waste them. So maybe you could just let me know, drop me a line in the comments section if you're on my website, if you're on Telegram. Just let me know what you're listening to. And I don't expect you to be listening to Spurgeon sermons or something like that. Okay, I mean, I love murder mysteries. I love procedural kind of books. I had worked my way through M.C. Beaton's Hamish Macbeth series. I think I'm pretty much finished those, just to give you an idea of some of the stuff I listen to. I'd be interested to know. Maybe I'm missing something. As I say, I've got a couple of free credits. And just let me know what you're listening to, if indeed you are audiobook fans as I am. Today we're looking at the gift of a pastor, or the gift of your pastor. And I came across an interesting thing. Someone had written the following description, entitled "The Pastor's Easy Job." His job is something like a football in a big game. He is knocked on one side and then the other. If he writes a postcard, it's too short. If he writes a letter, it's too long. If he has messages printed, then he's wasting money. If he attempts to safeguard the interest of the church, he's trying to run things. If he does not, then he's allowing things to go to the dogs. If he attends extra meetings of the church, he's an intruder. He's butting in. If he does not, then he's a shirker. If the attendance is slim, nobody likes him anyway. If he tries to help, he's a pest. If he calls for the offering, all he thinks about is money. If the offering is not good, then it's his fault. Boy, that's the truth. If he's in a smiling mood, then he's frivolous. He's into something he shouldn't be into. If he's serious, then he's a sorehead. If he seeks advice, he's incompetent. If he does not, he's a bullhead. If he mixes with the members, he's too familiar. Then if he does not, then he's too good for them. So ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If others won't do it, the pastor must. I don't know who wrote that, but I thought it was kind of funny. And that is kind of an apt description of the pastor's job. This guy who is a gift from God. The pastor really is a gift from God, but he is also 100% accountable to God. His successes or his failures are not to be determined by a committee, the board, a person, or his congregation. It's all determined by how faithful he is to God. And this is something that has always been a really big deal to me, because I've always said that, I'm not accountable to the board of the church. I'm not accountable to the elders of the church. I'm not even accountable to the members of the church. I'm unfortunately accountable to God. And my whole ministry has been like, if I have any success in the ministry, that's all due to God. Any failures, they're my failures, not his. And, it's kind of it's like a fine line a pastor walks, because on the one hand, this is a job that's great for lazy guys, because they aren't accountable to people. This is a great job if you want to take it easy, if you want to work as little as possible. It's an awesome job for that. But if you take your job seriously, if you take the pastor job seriously, then it's the hardest job that anybody will ever have. And I do take this job seriously. Now, I have a lot of fun pastoring churches. I've always had a lot of fun, because my philosophy is, if you can't have fun doing it, then what's the point? So I do have a lot of fun, but I also take it very, very, very seriously, and because I'm accountable to God. And, when I get to heaven and I'm standing before the Lord, I'm already going to have a lot of things to answer for. I don't want to have to answer to God for how I took my job as the pastor, took it for granted, or wasted my time, or whatever. So I take it very, very seriously. Let's take a look at a couple of verses of Scripture to get things going here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "And he," that is to say Christ, "he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Gift from God. Now, 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. Let's have a look. 1 Timothy 3, 1-7. Paul's writing and he says, "Here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task." That is to say, an overseer of the church. Or I think some versions of King James, it's a bishop, okay? But it's basically a church leader, i.e. the pastor. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Three words in the New Testament describe the office of a pastor. We've run into one of them here in our reading. Overseer. This word comes from the Greek word episkopos. It looks a lot like episcopal or episcopalian. And as I say, it's sometimes translated as bishop, and it is used to describe the work of a pastor. He is the overseer. He is one who watches over a congregation. The second word is elder, and we see that a lot in Paul's writings. The word comes from the Greek word presbyteros, and it looks like the word Presbyterian, and it's translated elder, and it's used to describe, let's call it the dignity and the rank of the office. And the third word is pastor, and this word comes from the Greek word poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, and it means the shepherd. And it refers to the relation, excuse me, of the pastor to his flock. He is the shepherd of God's flock. Now, no scripture in the New Testament indicates or implies that a pastor is perfect. And I thank God every day for that. The pastor cannot be perfect because he is a human being. So if you're out there and you complain about your pastor, his sermons are too long, they're too short, or you don't like the suits he wears, or you don't find that he's friendly enough, he doesn't shake enough hands, blah, he shakes too many hands. I mean, there's a million and one complaints you can make about your pastor. And please believe me, I've heard them all. And I can tell you that the pastor is not perfect because he is a human being. And from the pastor's position, the best position a pastor can take is that of being a humble person and realizing right up front that he's never going to be perfect, not as long as he lives. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the book speaks of the imperfections of a pastor. Let's take a look at a couple of verses here. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8. And this is the priests of the Lord, but we take that to be the pastor. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. I mean, the priests of the Old Testament, the pastors of the New Testament, they're in no way perfect. We read here of the transgressions of the priests. Take a look at, chapter 10, verse 21, Jeremiah 10, verse 21. The shepherds are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper, and all their flock is scattered. I mean, that's kind of a brutal description of an inadequate pastor, an inadequate shepherd. They're senseless. They don't pray enough. And the result of that is that their ministry does not prosper and their sheep is scattered. 1 Timothy over in the New Testament is a New Testament book that speaks of these imperfections. In this passage, the description of his work are stated in a positive way. Descriptions, plural, of his work are stated in a positive way, but the implications of the negative is also there. Let's go back and read that again. Verse 2, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become full of himself. He must have a good reputation with outsiders. I mean, that's something to really, qualifications really to live up to. And I just, when I read these things, I'm pretty good with most of them, I would say. But I got to tell you, I'm not always the most hospitable guy in the world. Like sometimes I just don't want to see people. Any pastors listening to this that are like that? Like they're sitting in the office and they look up and they see Sister So-and-so walking up to the church and you think, oh my Lord, that's the last person I want to talk to. Or you're at home after a long day at the office Maybe you've had to deal with errant church members at the office, and you get home and you're tired, you got a headache, and you just want to watch like TV, and there's the knock on the door, and Sister So-and-so has followed you home, and you just know that she's full of complaints. So sometimes I got to tell you, I'm not the most hospitable guy in the world. I mean, generally speaking, I think I am. I love to visit with people, from the church. But I mean, sometimes I just don't feel like it. Not given to drunkenness, I got that covered. Not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. Sometimes I like to argue. I'm a bit of a debater. And sometimes I like to debate or argue with people. Not a lover of money. Well, I definitely have that covered. How can you love something that you don't have anything of? I read through this list and I think I'm pretty good on some things, but I'm not real good on others. And that's something that you to definitely live up to. The pastor of a church, that gift from God to you, has very specific duties in your church. I would say that there are three spheres of the pastor's ministry. First of all, he's to work in the sphere of the church. The church is his main place of service. He is to preside over it as an administrator and as a teacher. And I can tell you that I'm terrible at one of those. I'm a terrible administrator. So I thank the Lord that I've got some really good elders who pick up the slack and are able to do the things that I'm not real good at. Yeah, I'm just not the best administrator. So I've got some really good administrators in the church, and we work very, very well together. But generally speaking, he's to preside over the church and to teach. That's why one of the qualifications for the overseer is that he should be able to teach. It's interesting. I attended a church once. This was when I was in Bible college, as a matter of fact. And the pastor of the church was probably one of the worst preachers or teachers I have ever sat under. He was absolutely horrible, and he knew it. And we could never, of course, Bible college students are the most critical in the world, right? Because they know everything. But I remember listening to some of his sermons. I just could not follow his sermons. And he was married to somebody that I knew from the church that I grew up in, and she said you ought to follow him around, because when he's not in front of people, he's like the best teacher that ever lived. So when I had to do an internship, and I spent an entire week with this pastor, following him around, just shadowing him. And boy, she was right. Like, he may not have been a great preacher or Bible teacher to a congregation, but when you were one-on-one with him, I mean, he was like the best visitor, like a visiting pastor. He could minister to people in the hospital. He could visit at home. He could counsel. I mean, he was just, the guy was a star in my book. But boy, he just could not preach. But every pastor has got different talents, But generally speaking, that's, again, he should be allowed to do his work in the church. So if you've got a pastor who is like a top-notch Bible teacher, then you need to let him be the Bible teacher in that church. And if there are other areas of ministry where he's not real good at, then you should be picking up the slack for him, like in my church here. I'm not the best at hospital visitation. I'll do it, and I don't mind doing it, but we've got a couple of members here. One of them is an elder who, I mean, they are outstanding at visiting the sick in the hospital, sitting with them, praying for them. Secondly, I would say, too, that the pastor also has a duty at home. 1 Timothy 3:5, in order to be successful at the church, he must first be successful in his own home. He's to provide a Christian environment for his whole family. And thirdly, the pastor also has a duty to perform in the world. 1 Timothy 3:7, he must also have a good reputation with outsiders. He used to have the respect of his fellow man in town, you know, in society, in just the ordinary day-to-day business that he conducts out there. I think there are three categories of the pastor's ministry. First of all, he is to be a guide to his people. I think one of the chief duties of a pastor is to guide or instruct or counsel. I would say that this is done over the pulpit on a Sunday morning and on a Wednesday night and other meetings that the pastor may have, the church may have, pardon me. Also in visitation, either in his office or when he visits you at home or whatever, you know, or in small group settings. We've done this kind of thing before at church where we have a midweek Bible study, yes, but we also from time to time we'll have like a men's group, and I always do a little kind of a little mini Bible study there, like a 5-minute devotional kind of thing. So he's to guide the people of his church, not preaching his own opinions or his own thoughts, but the Bible. He's to preach and teach the word of God. Secondly, he's to feed his people. The chief and paramount responsibility of the pastor is to preach and teach the word of God. And that is his primary responsibility. The pastor's primary responsibility is not to marry people in his church, to perform funerals, to visit the congregation at home eating their apple pie and drinking their coffee. He's not a social butterfly. The first and foremost responsibility of the pastor of a church is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, followed by prayer, praying for his people. That is how the members of the pastor's church grow. That's how they grow. A steady diet of God's word, okay? Now, he can also feed members of his congregation in other relations as the occasion arises. Yes, absolutely. And thirdly, the pastor is to guard or protect his people. False doctrines are being preached everywhere, on TV, over the internet. I mean, you cannot believe the wacky things that some members of my church talk to me about. Things they've heard on, seen on YouTube or heard on the internet or whatever. And the pastor's got to be aware of these things and aware of these false teachers. It's like a full-time job just keeping up with some of the ding-a-lings on YouTube. The pastor's congregation hears these things and he needs to know what they're listening to, what they're reading. They're literally, members of the church are confronted and bombarded with false teaching everywhere. And the pastor is to protect his people as best he can, just as a shepherd protects his sheep. So the pastor is to protect his congregation. There are a number of characteristics that the pastor possesses as a result of this gift, and they're found as in 1 Timothy 3:1-7. Notice the words that Paul uses: above reproach, temperate, prudent, respectable, able to teach, and a decent manager. The pastor is to be all of those things. The congregation must relate to the pastor's use of the gift. Take a look at Hebrews 13 for a minute. Look at a couple of verses there. First of all, Hebrews 13, verse 17 says this. Really, there's two admonitions here. Hebrews 13, 17. Have confidence in your leaders. That's your church leaders, not your political leaders, your church leaders. And submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account, i.e. give an account to God. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So have confidence in your leaders, trust them, submit or obey them, submit to their authority or obey them. This is not like, you know, don't submit to your pastor like he's a tyrant or something, because he's not a tyrant and he's not a dictator. If you got a pastor who's a dictator and a tyrant, you need to get rid of him. Okay, what this means is to support your pastor, agree with what he's doing, and help him do it. I mean, provided he's doing the work of the Lord, you know. The other word is to understand that they keep watch over you. So sometimes your pastor may have a talk with you about something you're involved in that's not good. Okay, listen, he's just doing his job. He doesn't hate you, and he's not trying to tell you what to do. And I've had this in my own church. I've had to deal with, just give you, I don't want to mention any names because they might be listening. Wednesday nights, okay, it's family night at church. We've got adult Bible study. We've got youth. And it just so happens that public school has baseball practice Wednesday nights. Oddly enough, they have baseball practice Sundays, Sunday mornings, and Wednesday nights. And I had a couple of families in church. They vanish during elementary school baseball season. So I had to talk to them. Look, what's more important to you? Your kids playing baseball? They're terrible at it anyway, by the way. Or don't you think they should be in church learning the Bible? Don't you think they should be in church with the other Christian kids where they're going to have a good influence as opposed to the bad influence that they get on the field or whatever? I'm giving that as an example, but I had to do that. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it because I love these people. But I did it because I love these people. You understand? The pastor does what he has to do. Sometimes it's an unpleasant thing, but he does it because that's what he is called to do, because he's got to give an account. So if I didn't point this out to these families, then in the sweet by and by, I'm going to have to answer to God for why I didn't do that. So have confidence in your pastor and submit to their authority. All things being equal, as I say, he's not going to be a tyrant, and he's watching out for you, and he only wants what's best for you. And you do this so that their work will be a joy for them, for your pastor, and not a burden, because that would be of no benefit for you. That's right. If your pastor is having a hard time in church, he's going to be terrible at his job. And then verse 18, the writer to the Hebrews says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. In order for the Lord to use the pastor in an effective way, the congregation must be in the spirit of prayer for their spiritual leader. Your pastor needs this from you in order to magnify his gift. And I can tell you personally, I am desperate for the prayers of my congregation. And I can tell when they're praying for me. I covet their prayers, and I frequently tell them that I need their prayers. And as I, the pastor, am called to pray for them, I really need their reciprocal prayers. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let's have a look. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. In other words, pay your pastor a decent wage. Okay? So pay your pastor a decent wage, but also encourage him. Tell him he's doing a good job. I'm assuming that he is. Don't be afraid to compliment your pastor, okay? Few positions in all the world are more significant than that of a pastor. That is the highest calling anybody can receive. That is higher than being the president of the United States, being a pastor. God gives this gift to a very select few by the Holy Spirit. Let those who have this gift use it with dignity and honor. Look, I know it is not an easy job pastoring a church. It's difficult. Sometimes it's very thankless. Sometimes I've known pastors that have been so discouraged. You know, on a Monday morning, they just want to rent a U-Haul, back it up to their office, and load it with their books and leave. That's how they feel. You know, pray for your pastor. Make sure that he is making enough money to support himself and his family. If he needs help, help him. Volunteer to do some work in the church. Ask if something needs to be done in church. You know, chances are your pastor is doing stuff that he shouldn't be doing. I mean, that is to say, he's doing work in the church that the custodian should be doing, or that other people should be doing. You know, don't be afraid to say, listen, is there something I can do? I'm free, you know, I'm free on Friday. Is there something that needs to be done in church? You might be surprised. You might be surprised. Your pastor is a gift from God. And he's a gift from God, but, you know, he can't do his job without support from the congregation that he serves. Okay, that's it for today. Folks, thank you so much for tuning into the Panic Podcast today and the whole week. Hope you've enjoyed our current series of Bible studies. The weekend is upon us. I hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget to get to church on Sunday. If by chance you can't get to church on Sunday, we've got the video sermon, and it's Mother's Day, and I'm going to be preaching on a model for the modern mother from the Bible, a biblical model for a modern mother. Do you know who it is? Well, come to church on Sunday and find out, or watch the video sermon and find out. Be a blessing. Go on out and be a blessing to everybody you come in contact with. And we will see you next week with brand new Bible studies on the Panic Podcast, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We've got 5 brand new short 3-minute Bible studies every morning next week. And we'll see you then. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.